This is Japan Baseball Weekly, the only English podcast covering all 12 NPB teams. And now, your hosts, John E. Gibson and Jim Allen.
Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast. It's for the week of October 4th. I'm John Gibson, and with me on a Sunday night is Jim Allen. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing really well. How about you?
It's my father's birthday, October 4th, so happy birthday, Pops.
Oh, hey, yeah. Happy birthday, Mr. Gibson.
I had, when I was home earlier this year, I made sure that the podcast downloads on his app on his phone, but I don't know if he listens to it, but I'll tell him to tune in. Tune in, Pops. Anyway, so I'm doing all right. Although I was just really confused. I got up to run a couple days ago, and I dressed really warm, and I went out to run, and it was hot.
We had Indian summer at the end of September.
Yeah, which I don't mind the heat, you know. So I came back sweating profusely. My wife's like, "Oh, don't come in! You're dripping all over the place." I'm like, "Well, that's what happens when you run, when you exercise." So,
ooh.
I mean, don't come in. You want me to go and live somewhere else? Move out of the way. Just try not to get any on you.
Okay.
I like that. Jim's like, "Well, I'm not touching that one."
Yeah.
Jim trying not to get any on him.
Exactly.
So, All right. On this week's show, we've got no interview, but we do have some great pennant chase / playoff race talk. We're going to talk about the top September performers. Had a lot of retirements, so we'll handle that and handle some high heat as well. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
All right, people, like I always say, go to the YouTube Pacific League English channel, subscribe, like some of the videos. Also, please try to comment on some of the videos, and hopefully we can do more starting soon, but especially heading into next season. So give us a boost there if you can. We'd appreciate it. All right, Jim, so let's get into the Central League pennant race / playoff chase. This is it's really a mess in the Central League. And I tweeted out the other day the very awkwardly worded, "Who wants to be a Centralinaire?" this past
yeah,
week.
I did see that.
And it didn't get much play, but it seems like it's going down to the final pitch in the last game of the season to settle the seeds and all that stuff. But it'll be compelling TV for sure. But in the meantime, it's like a lot of these teams are not playing well, and they're not playing. I mean, I see the passion on the bench when something good happens, but especially among the teams that are in the top three, but I don't see the play on the field so much. I see bad defensive plays, bad decision-making, awkward plays, awkward footing, just weird stuff. People not hitting well. Jerry Sands gets sent down to the farm in the middle of the pennant chase. I mean, it's just weird what's going on in the Central League.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know about it, you know, who wants to win. I think it's more a case of it's not as close as it looks.
That might
because the
well, it
the,
is and it isn't.
That well, is it true. Isn't okay. The Hanshin Tigers are a game out of first place,
so they look really close, right?
But they're actually, I mean, in terms of wins and losses, in terms of how many wins they have to make up, they're actually between 2 and 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
They have to basically the Swallows need to lose 3. And the Tigers need to lose 2 in order for the Tigers need to win 2.
Win 2, yep.
In order to go into first place. So they're a game back, but they're really not.
Right. And again, those ties are coming into play in that respect. But the thing is they can't tie. They need the actual winning percentage to go up. Whereas the Swallows can tie because their winning percentage is better and they can add to their little stack of ties that they have. So yeah, it is and it isn't, but because it's so close and because they still play head to head, I think it is that close because a couple games, you know, you get to a series, if you get 2 out of 3, that's obviously going to make up one of the games, but pinning a loss on the Swallows is the biggest thing. If you pin a loss on them, it's going to change that winning percentage for you. Right. So
the other thing that I neglect, actually, I didn't know when you mentioned it last week, was that essentially all the game, there are two games. You said there are 11 games between the Swallows and the Giants and Tigers. 9 of those are at Jingu.
Okay. And now, another thing I didn't mention, I'm sorry to cut you off, but it was that the Swallows have more games to make up. They've only played, as of today, 123. And it's no surprise that the two teams that play in the Dome and the Domes in the Central League, the Giants and the Dragons, have played more games than anybody else. And the other teams are lagging in that respect. So that's a good thing. But obviously, yeah, they're going to be games at Jingu because those are the games that get rained out. So no surprise there, in my opinion. But they get to play at home. So the only team that really plays poorly there is the Dragons. They don't pitch well at Jingu, as well at Jingu. But
well, this year, as you know, I actually went into this, I think on Monday, when, you know, I was thinking about what you said at the podcast. And so I was thinking about, well, I did a strength of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And that really doesn't change anything. Because, I mean, it doesn't, you know, in terms, they still play plenty. They still had that huge streak against, you know, all the teams had games against the weaklings.
Mm-hmm.
And they still had plenty of those. It wasn't like all their games were against the top two teams. I mean, sure, the Swallows are going to play the Giants and Tigers, those are the two teams they had the worst record against, because at the beginning of the season,
right,
those teams cleaned the Swallows' clocks.
Mm. But and have you noticed since? Yes,
since they
cleaned that up. Since I mentioned it, they cleaned it up.
Yeah. Well, no, I think I remember we had this discussion because I said that the Swallows were sort of like the old, were acting like the old Yokohama Bay Stars, because until DeNA bought the team, this club had an absolute fear of the best teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically, at that time, the best two teams in the league were the Dragons and the Giants. And they would play well against the Tigers, and they'd play well against, I mean, they'd play over 500 ball against the Tigers, Swallows, and Carp. And they were playing like 200 against the Giants and Dragons.
It's right.
Like they'd get, you know, if they fell down 3-0 in the first inning to the Giants or Dragons, they basically gave up. And that changed with DeNA. And that was, I think, the lone contribution, well, per one of the few contributions by Kiyoshi Nakahata, was that they stopped sort of like being worried about the good teams, and they sort of played up to their level against them. So that was good. But the Swallows were like that early in the year. They just couldn't beat the Giants or the Tigers. And since then, they've pretty much eaten their lunch. So
that's true. And I've been watching their games, and I thought, I think the Proyaku News guy said it too. I said, well, look, they're foreign guys, Domingo Santana and Jose Osuna. They have played fairly steady most of the season, but they've been threats in the lineup all year. So that's not a surprise. But when Yasutaka Shiomi started to turn it on, and a guy, I mean, I think it was 2 seasons ago when he broke out a little bit, and then he got injured. And I said, man, this guy, you know, he's got power. He's another Yamada, because he's got the power, but he also has speed. And I really liked what he was doing. So then you put him in there, and then you've got Tetsuto Yamada, and you've got Munetaka Murakami. And I'm thinking, this lineup is dynamic when you really think about it. And you have Nakamura, who was hitting close to 300 as their catcher. I'm like, this lineup is potent.
Another thing is that Norichika Oki was absolutely, he was nothing in the first half of the season. And now he's playing like normal. You know, he's just the guy, you know, he's the guy with the 350 on base percentage again.
Right. So you look at the lineup, and when I said it last week, I said, well, this team is now functioning like a first place team. Then the pitchers all went out and they went through the rotation. Everybody pitched well. And I'm like, well, what is this? Now before we couldn't find a pitcher to throw out there as the number one. Now we've got like 6 candidates. And I'm like, this is what a championship team looks like. And it's just so surprising to see a turnaround from a team that basically was kind of toward the bottom in the first half of the season, for much of the first half of the season, started to rise a little bit, and then just has just steadily gotten better the entire season.
I'll tell you, you said something, and you brought it up, I think, 2 weeks ago when you mentioned, you know, the Swallows have the second best ERA in the Central League. And, you know, until you mentioned it, it hadn't occurred to me. Mm-hmm. I've been watching them play, and I've been watching them pitch, and I'd commented on how much I liked their pitching approach, mm-hmm. which is get ahead in the count and then get guys to chase instead of the Central League way, which is kind of like to throw pitches close to the edge, throw first pitches close to the edge that might or might not be strikes, and then hope to get ahead that way. And right. I mean, that's the way 5 Central League teams pitch, but seven teams in Japan. Well, okay, we can't count the Cebu Lions. 6 teams in Japan basically try to get the first strike and get ahead in the count and then make guys chase. Mm-hmm. And I noticed the Swallows pitched like a Pacific League team, but what didn't occur to me was the walks, which I did look up after, and I go, whoa, you know, nobody walks fewer batters than the Swallows. It was really surprised me. And okay, so I looked at it, and then I'm watching the games when they had their winning streak, and I'm going, let's see, they've walked 3 guys in 5 games, and they were walking 1 guy a game, 2 guys a game. And so when they walked a bunch against the Bay Stars, when the pitchers were getting a little, they looked like they were getting a little tired, and they walked a bunch of guys, I looked and I said, well, this is very unusual, but it wasn't actually. And what I'm trying to say is, all season long, they haven't been walking batters. This has kind of like been the thing, and I never noticed it until I noticed it, and then they started walking them. So I was looking, I was going, like, when they walked 5 against the Bay Stars one game ago, I was thinking, when's the last time they walked 5? And I'm going, oh, geez, a week ago. Oh, and then they you know, three or four times in September, they walked 5 or 7 guys. And but in July, in June, in May, there were a lot walking. It happened like once a month.
Wow. You know,
it was really weird because it was happening before our eyes and nobody noticed.
Right. And you mentioned their winning streak. It was a 9-game winning streak, but they actually went unbeaten for 13 games. Yep. And it ended on Tuesday last week, and the Bay Stars jumped out to early 6-0 lead and eventually won the game 7-5. But even when the Swallows lost, and they were down a early 6-run deficit, they rallied back, and they had the winning runs on base. And in fact, my MVP candidate Murakami was up, and he had a pitch to Jack, and they were at home, and he just hit under it for the final out. Otherwise, they would have won that game too, and they would still be on a winning streak, it seems. So they look better than, if you can imagine, a Buffalo's Swallows Japan series. Wouldn't that be fun? They look better than any other team right now that I can think of. I mean, yeah, right now.
Well, I certainly, the funny thing about the Central League pennant race this week was, with the exception of 2 games, one in which the Tigers tied when the Swallows lost, and today went on, that was on Tuesday. The thing about this week was, essentially, there was precious little movement in the Central League pennant race because the Tigers, Giants, and Swallows essentially did exactly the same thing every day.
Right.
The Tigers lost 3 in a row on a day that the Swallows tied, or the Swallows won. So the Tigers lost 1 game to the Swallows in the standings this week. And the Giants, I think, lost a half a game, or they lost a game. I think they tied twice when the Swallows won. But otherwise, it was, they were all winning and all losing on the same day.
Yeah, well, if we want to transition and talk about the Giants and the Tigers, they just, neither team just, they're scrambling, they're pitching guys on short or rest, they're flipping lineups every which way but loose, especially the Giants, more so the Giants, but
yeah.
I don't know that you can get continuity going down the stretch like that. And we didn't mention it last week, but former Giants great, and what is the lifetime honorary, we're talking about Shigeo Nagashima.
Manager Emeritus is what I call him.
Manager Emeritus, okay. And he visited with Hara sometime prior to last week and said, hey, don't worry about trying to win the pennant because you got the playoffs. Just focus on playing, doing well in the playoffs. And that's like the first time I've ever really heard that kind of rhetoric coming from Giants land, you know, or Yomiuri land.
Yeah, because for them, winning the championship is everything.
Is everything. And I'm like, what? And this is Nagashima saying that? What? And so it just sounded weird. And it was a public, oh, it's okay to lose. And that's fine because it is another path to a championship. It's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just different coming out of that particular ball club's.
Exactly. Because the Giants, when the Central League adopted when the Central League took the Pacific League playoffs and turned them into the Climax Series in 2007, when they stole the idea from the Pacific League, the one thing they didn't do...
It was a kidnapping or a hijacking. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, hijacking.
Named it and everything, yeah.
They plagiarized it, basically. One thing they didn't do was make the league champion the winner of the Climax Series.
Right.
They said no because the league championship is too important, and the team that didn't want it the most and screamed and hollered the most was the Giants because for them, nothing's more important than winning the league.
Right.
And so now they're coming out and, oh yeah, laugh. League schmig, let's just get into the Japan series.
Yeah, so it's another path, and I wouldn't put it past them to be able to turn things around. I just haven't seen evidence that when we get into a playoff situation and there's a scenario in which that team has to play that first round matchup and then have its pitching staff kind of jumbled and go into another series against matched up, if it is the Swallows, against a team that is able to line up its pitches, staff. I just don't know how that works out for them. In the past, we always just kind of assumed the Giants would get through, but I mean, I'm not going to assume anything. I think it's going to be very compelling television, but it just sounds weird coming out of that organization.
Well, we've had two good games from two games in a row from Tomoyuki Sugano. So he's gone from one good, one bad to sort of two good and one bad.
And he did it on short rest as well. So
sure, I like that. So he appears to be the real thing right now. So I like that. And they've been getting good pitching performances. But Mr. Ahara kind of went off the deep end over the course of this past week. I mean, even for Tatsunori Hara, yeah, I know. It's like even for him, he was doing weird stuff. This was last weekend, and it's like my starter went three innings. Time to change him. You know he. Against the Tigers, and I'm going like, hold on a second, and things are not really, you know, it's not just Nagashima saying don't worry about the pennant race, it's things are really messed up in Yomiuri Land right now, and I don't mean the amusement park up in Kawasaki.
Right.
I mean the all the stuff, you know, all the show Nakata nonsense.
Yeah, that too.
And I wrote about that at length the other day because I wasn't even thinking about Sho Nakata, but you know, Hara has just been doubling down on Sho Nakata is going to be the guy who's going to save us, and just doing as Hara does when he gets his teeth into something, he's a bulldog, and I swear
a pit bull, yeah,
a pit bull. I know it's like
yeah, they don't let go, yeah,
yeah. I mean. And it could be a rotten apple. And Hara's going, it's my rotten apple.
That's right.
This is my idea. It's going to work. And he just loves his quirks so much. He gets to the point sometimes where he just does he's a pretty much level-headed guy, but he's almost feels like he's got to be Nagashima Jr. And he's got to be inscrutable and quirky, and he sometimes seems to do things just to annoy the beat reporters.
Have some of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's exactly. Something to write about, buddy.
No, I mean, you've been to some of his press conferences, and he'll go like the reporter will say, "Can you explain why you use this player instead?" No, I'd like you to write what you think. I'm looking forward to seeing that tomorrow's paper.
Snidely whiplash, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just like I'm clever and you're not, and I'm the manager and you can't possibly understand, kind of. It's almost like, as I said last week, I think he wants to be the, you know, the evil scientist villain in a Bond movie or sometimes.
Well, what do you think about Akihiro Yano of the Tigers?
I like him.
He's so quiet. Yeah.
I don't understand what's going on with the Tigers, but, you know, I trust him more to sort, just because he's letting people play more. I mean, in comparison, okay, let's say, now he got a very unsatisfactory pitching performance out of Yuki Nishi a week ago Friday, and 30 minutes, and then called him into his, I guess it was probably at the team hotel, called him into his room and basically gave him a dressing down, like, what are you doing? And then the rest of his pitching staff has just been throwing bullets since then. He had a problem, he dealt with it, and he let the guys, get on with their game. And Nishi came out in his next start, and he was the way, well, to be honest, Yuki Nishi has always been this guy who'd like pitch 8 or 9 great games and then look like he forgot his pitching manual for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
When he was with Oryx, and he's sort of done that this whole year. You know, he was really good last year, and now he's really bad this year. So, but no, I mean, that's the way he sort of like finds a problem and kind of addresses it and sees what happens. He doesn't try to micromanage every single little thing as much.
As much as
Hara. Yeah. So I don't have a clear, I mean, Jerry Sands was slumping and not hitting in big situations. And so I kind of understand that, but kind of don't.
I was going to say that, all season long, Yano has just been, he's been the typical Central League manager. He hasn't stood out. He hasn't done anything bad in particular constantly. He hasn't done anything great in particular constantly. He hasn't gotten in the way. And he has a lot of talent on the team. That's hard.
It's hard for a guy, Central League managers, not to get in the way, because they're supposed to be out there telling people, sacrifice now, do all this, dumb stuff.
Well, dumb stuff. Well, whatever it is, he has been, just a guy in, I guess, what you would expect of a typical manager. He just hasn't gotten in the way. He hasn't stood out. He hasn't been the story. Yeah. And so it started with the struggles of the rookie who's played himself out of the Rookie of the Year running, and Teruaki Sato just stopped hitting. And since then, they just have been at a loss of what to do about it, what to do with him, sending him down to the farm, bringing him back up, putting him in games, using him as a, I mean, the worst thing you could do in my opinion, with a player in a slump is to use him as a pinch hitter, because these guys are not like sumo wrestlers who, prepare all day long for something that might last 15 to 30 seconds. And then go back to their daily routine thing. The baseball players, if it's a good outcome, it's still only the one at bat. If it's a bad outcome, they've got more than 24 hours more to wait and see if they can improve upon it. It's just the worst thing. I'd rather them bring him send him down to the farm and let him get his three to four ABs and whatever, and come what may. But Sands going into slumps, them trying to figure out what to do with Mel Rojas Jr. and his defense and left, and using Yoshio Itoi here and there, and it just seemed like that they kind of lost their way in terms of the entire bench, not just Yano. To me, because now I'm seeing him stand out. Now I'm seeing the order, the lineups get flipped around, and players being asked to do you know, to bunt, or we're going to play for a run in this aspect, but we've got, you know, we haven't been able to pitch well. So what's the point of playing for a run anyway? But maybe we can, maybe this is the night that we can protect that lead, you know, in the sixth inning on with a one run lead or whatever it is, or, yeah, or get that runner. Yeah, it just seems weird. Well, it just seems weird for both of those teams. And that's why that was part of what that tweet was about. It wasn't just about the wins and losses. It was about how goofy things are starting to look with the Giants saying it's okay to lose and the Tigers being okay with losing.
Yeah. And on the other hand, you have the Swallows who are just like as cool as cucumbers.
I mean, we should call them the Larks because they're just happy as a lark.
I mean, you know, the couple of times they went through, they're playing so many more games. You know, they went to a stretch of 10 games in a row, 10 games in 10 days. And Takatsu's response was to give some of his regular players days off. Well, Domingo Santana got a bunch of days off because he wasn't hitting. But, you know, Nakamura sits and Tetsuo Yamada sat one day. And then today he had, instead of Noboru Shimizu, the league holds leader, he had Taichi Shiyama, the demoted former closer.
Yeah, they're playing around.
Yeah, I mean, well, the point is, he's got, you know, he's using his whole team. You know, he's saying, this is, I want you, you're going to be the next guy. They are absolutely, you know, if this were the Bay Stars, they'd have Ishiyama back as the closer the day after Scott McGuff blew a save.
Right.
You know, let's like, call that guy who wasn't any good for 2 years. Let's bring him back.
Yes, Yasuaki.
Yasuaki Yamasaki. So yeah, instead of that, Yasuaki, they've got Ishiyama, you know, basically saying you're in a position to where you could go back to being where you were. So I'm going to give you, you know, they've been feeding him slightly more responsibility, slightly more high leverage situations. Ishiyama earlier in the season was coming in the sixth inning or the fifth inning. Now today he pitched the eighth and he was really good. He's pitched a couple of games in that role, seventh, eighth. He's pitched really well. You know, give Noboru Shimizu a breather. Scott McGuff was, for 2 days in a row, he was given a rest so that Albert Suarez could pitch in the ninth inning.
And how cool was that, that the Suarez brothers both got saves for their teams on the same day today? That was awesome. I didn't realize
Albert's,
it.
Albert's only 34 behind his brother.
Robert, right? Yeah.
Robert, yeah. So, yeah. No, that was cool. But that's what the Swallows are doing, which is like, you're down. Okay, you're next up. You know, this is your role. You're the, you, there's a sense of order.
Well, no, to what me, they're doing. It is, you say order, and I say, look, we're going to use everybody. We're going to have fun. We're not supposed to be, nobody thought we'd be in this situation. We've got a little bit of a lead. And who cares if we finish in first or second? We'd love to win the pennant. It would be nice. It's great to have the banner. But we're going to focus on the playoffs, and we want to get everybody rested so that we can win in the playoffs. And that's our focus. And I like that as well. And you can call it order. I don't know, because neither one of us really knows, because we're not in the
True.
But it just seems like they're having a lot more fun than any other team.
Well, they are playing. They're playing like the Buffaloes in that they're playing with a lot of confidence. And we saw that, although I wish, you know, Takatsu, you know, like every manager has things that I just don't want to see. But, you know, otherwise, I like, in some ways, he reminds me of Tatsunori Hara when he was young, and that when he was first starting out as managing and he wasn't afraid of doing things that other people didn't like or were atypical. And then, so he built up a really good team and then did really dumb things managing wise in the games. So, but the total product was really impressive. You know, you got to take the good with the bad. And I think the Takatsu brings him so many positives. So,
okay. Well, do me a favor and whatever blunt object you're using to beat Hara up with right now, just set it down. Set it down for me, and we're going to transition to the Pacific League. Did you put it down?
Yeah, I've got it pointed at I've got it pointed at our podcasting recording equipment right now, so be careful what you say.
All right, just set it down for me. Let's transition and talk about the Pacific League. So early in the week, last week, the Buffaloes went into Zozo Marine Stadium and had this matchup with the Marines. And I thought, man, this should be the weekend series. But the problem with the Pacific League right now, with these four teams that are within striking distance of A, the pennant, and B, a playoffs spot, is that most of the matchups are really, you know, must-see TV every night. So
two playoff contenders playing each other every night.
Right. And we had a break tonight with the Lions and the Fighters, you know, trying to beat each other up for last place. But so that we only had two. But yeah, it just seemed like every matchup had playoff implications. It was fun to watch. So the Buffaloes went into Zozo early in the week and really put a beat down on the Marines. And this came after the Marines. We had talked about it. We had Brandon Laird on the show last week. Mentioned the fact that Leonis Martin was gone with a broken bone in his foot, most likely for the rest of the regular season, probably for the playoffs. We don't know. I haven't heard. But then the Buffaloes got Masataka Yoshida back, their MVP candidate, and then he got hit by a pitch on Saturday, and there's a broken bone. What did he break, Jim?
The ulnar. The right ulnar bone near his wrist.
Oh, man. So he's gone for a while.
Actually, it's an ulna bone. It's an ulnar fracture. Okay.
Okay. So he's gone again. But still, this team has won seven in a row. They look good. They're playing well. Obviously, this is the thing with the SoftBank Hawks. They've won the Japan Series four consecutive years. They've done it from almost every conceivable position, finishing third, finishing first. I'm not sure. Yeah, they've won it from finishing second, I believe, as well, right?
Twice.
So none of the teams in the Pacific League want to see the Hawks. They don't want to play the Hawks in the postseason. And, you know, Alfredo Despaigne comes back from wherever he was. You know, he had national team duty. He had injuries, blah, blah, blah. He came back and had hit 10-plus games in a row. He hit safely, and he's been terrorizing people, torturing people. They swept the Hawks this weekend as well, and it's just – it's amazing to see the Buffaloes not Buffalo it up. And they did. They had a mistake. I mean, the Saturday's game with Hiroya, Mr. Miyagi on the mound, they had a run that scored that was unearned. And then they got a mistake from the Hawks, got a run. And that ended up being the winning run. So they're playing like a team that just doesn't have the pressure on it. And I like what I'm seeing from those guys, but it's still a long way. Still a long way.
Yeah, well, the thing with them this week was they went into the Marines, and their two bigger guns, although, to be honest, Hiroya Miyagi was not, like, in my mind, one of their bigger guns right now, because he's been pretty mediocre since June.
He had been, that's correct, and they got him some rest.
Okay. Well, you know, he hasn't been striking people out. He's been walking a bunch and giving up a bunch of hits. So, yeah, he in the beginning of the season, until I think people adjusted, but his fastball was better. But anyway, he was pitching on Saturday, and he was pitching on Friday, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto was pitching on Saturday. So they beat the Marines without their two best guns. And then they beat the Hawks with them. But those guys were gone after the first two games. And then they get Kodai Senga on Sunday. So, I mean, this is going to really be a test.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought this, now, you know, they've got the pitchers. We know who's going to start the first two games for them in the playoffs. After that, what are we going to get? And then they had to face Senga. So, yeah, you're setting it up.
Yeah,
here,
they got
so.
Daichi Takeyasu, who is, and you know how they got him? He was the free agent compensation for Yuki Nishi.
Oh.
So, and he's really, you know, he's been, you know, that kind of pitcher. I mean, he's you know, he's almost the prototypical Oryx pitcher in that he's got really good stuff, but it's just really inconsistent.
Mm, yes.
And so you never really quite know what you're going to get, but sometimes he's a surprise. and he was a surprise. He was a heck of a surprise on Sunday. So
surprise, the, or as exactly. Jim Neighbors would say, surprise, 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 because he was perfect through the first three innings. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on here? I mean,
as he said in the post game hero interview, when they said, "Well, how did you shut them down?" He says, "Well, basically, I got lucky, and then they scored some runs for me. You know, I got lucky because when I, you know, they misplayed a double into a triple, and then with two outs, Alfredo Despaigne lines a ball down the line that Yuma Mune came out of nowhere to grab for the third out."
Well, you say out of nowhere. I say it was as part of was the self protection there. Yeah, but he has played really elite third base for them all season.
He has
elite level third base defensively.
Yeah, I think he's easily the Golden Glove winner at third base this year in the Pacific League.
I'm with you.
And then a couple of times, you know, Alfredo Despaigne has just been hitting the cover off the ball. He's just been hitting so well. But a couple of times this past week, I've saw. You know, he's got that Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid look when he goes back to the dugout after he gets robbed by somebody. He's just shaking his head. Who are those guys?
Yeah, well, I remember when I made that metaphor about the roaches that you think are dead, and you concentrated on the roach part of it, and I wanted you to concentrate on the fact that these guys, especially Despaigne. In fact, I was talking about him specifically because he seems to be always missing in the middle of the season for large chunks, but he comes back and he's very effective or productive. And yes, you say knocking the cover off the ball. I say tormenting, torturing, and putting fear into other teams, because that lineup is still kind of deep. So it's not like you can just put him on base and face somebody else. You're going to have to throw him some pitches once in a while. And you see anything in the strike zone right now, he just seems to be mashing. So tough going to get through these Hawks, but I think there's a concerted effort by a lot of teams to keep this. They have the opportunity to keep the Hawks out of the playoffs, and I think especially the top three teams are really going to go hard at them every time they play the Hawks.
Well, they kind of have to, otherwise they're going to be, you know, somebody's going to be out of the playoffs. Otherwise the Eagles are going to be out of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be the Eagles. If any team is going to be out, it's going to be the Eagles, I think, unless some team goes on a skid, which we haven't seen yet. We haven't seen, I mean, we've seen some inconsistency, and we're seeing the Marines right now have some problems, but I think this day off will present them with the opportunity to get over whatever their, you know, the Martin situation and get their pitching in order. I mean, they did have Ayumu Ishikawa the other day did not pitch well, and I think that kind of threw off their expectations, and they had to use more of the bullpen than expected. But they're going to get the Lions when they open up on Tuesday, so that'll be it's not easy, but that'll be different. And Buffaloes are going to be playing the Fighters, and it'll be the Eagles' turn to try to put some distance between themselves and the Hawks. And those teams are the Eagles are third and the Hawks are fourth. So, and I think at the moment there's 3.5 games between them. So if they can win 2 out of 3, if the Eagles can do that, that puts more pressure on the Hawks. But I've seen the Hawks I've seen Kimiyasu Kudo, the manager, have that look on his face. And this is the mask era. It's hard to make out all of the facial expressions, but he's looking like, well, I tried this and this didn't work. I tried this player and this didn't work. And I did this and this didn't work. And I tried to have guys bunt and that didn't work. We played hit and run and that didn't work. And he's coming to, you know, he's at wit's end, it looks like. And he's just going to have to throw the guys out there, do his mixing and matching. But he's just going to have to let the cards fall where they may, because I don't think it's in his hands anymore. And that's the way, that's the expression he's had on his face, is what else can I possibly do?
Yeah, which is, of course, happens a lot. And sometimes the answer is, you know, just pick the guys you think are best and let them play.
Yeah.
And, you know, accept how, you know, how the cards fall.
Yeah. I mean, you're only as good as your players. And then you can only do all the preparation, go out, do your best, and hope, you know, hope for the best in terms of results. But you got to live with the results. I mean, what else are you going to do? You can't change him, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, no, it's not so much that. It's as much as I can game this tiny... See, I can game this tiny advantage by starting this player, and if he wins, you know, this is sort of the okay, I promised I wouldn't go there, but this is sort of the Hara Nakata thing. You know, if this guy is a success, he's going to be a big success. And it's sort of like he's gaming something that has a very slight chance of working. But, you know, it's sort of like, I'm going to try this, make this tiny adjustment here in this tiny, you know, almost as if they're playing, you know, almost as if they're in the game, because they can't play in the game. But the managers are making these, you know, pulling this player in and putting that player in. And, oh, I didn't like his swing and back. They're making these changes are so small over the course of one or two games, but this thing in Japan is that every game is crucial.
Right. You know,
Japan has always had this sort of tunnel vision when it comes to baseball. It's never, I mean, as you know, we used to discuss opening day. I mean, I swear every team used to treat opening day as if they got 50 wins for it. And then the winners would all go, great, we've won the season, you know, won the pennant. And the losers would go, well, it's just one game. And now pretty much everyone's on that ticket. But boy, it used to be the media and everybody got on teams that didn't win on opening day. And, you know, but that's kind of gone. But there's still a thing of, you know, this game is critical. We can't, you know, let's use the guy who's hitting 248 instead of the guy who's hitting 246.
Right. Yeah, those two little points. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, all these games are fun to watch every night. The stakes are really high. I just want to watch every pitch, but not even I can do that.
So. Good luck with that.
Yeah, not even I can do that. All right. So let's make a four-seam transition, and we've got the top players of September. You guys know my process, which is to just sit around and think of the guys I remember having a good – stretch during the month. And so I did that, and then I was going to look at the numbers, and the site that I usually check on didn't have it. So I asked Jim this morning. I said, Jim, what happened to the site? And I guess I put what I referred to as the fear of John into Jim, because he thought the site was down. So I guess you scrambled and checked it and made sure it was still up and running.
Well, the
and
one I use is still up.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, but I actually didn't get that much time to look, so I'm still going to go off of what I kind of felt. So let's start in the Pacific League this time. And the position player who I remember having a good stretch, there were two, Brandon Laird and Yuki Yanagita. How did they fare in the standings there?
Well, Yanagita is my choice, and he led the Pacific League. Hold on a second. He led the Pacific League in runs, average, slugging, OPS. but and Laird had a good month. But I think the other candidate there is Yutaro Sugimoto again.
Yutaro, yeah, the masher, yeah, with the Buffaloes, yeah. What did he do? How close was he?
Well, he hit .318. He had a .423 on base percentage, which is. Let me make sure this is September. Yes. Hit 7 home runs, but he drove in 11. He scored 14, which was good. Drew 14 walks, which was good. I mean, it was just pretty good. I mean, it wasn't a lot worse than Yuki Yanagita's, but the guy who led the league in RBIs was Brandon Laird with 21. He also had 5 home runs, which was Sugimoto at 7, but Laird and Richard Sunegawa tied for second, along with Takahiro Okada. So, but so, you know, there's an argument for Brandon Laird, but I'm guessing, you know, with the RBIs, but you know, he scored 9 runs, which is not great. He had a 380 on base percentage and a 280 batting average is pretty solid.
Yeah, well, I think when they lost Leonis, that means that they're going to walk him a little bit more or make him chase. So if his on base percentage doesn't go up, that's a problem. I would say probably his batting average would drop, but the fact that he's on the list or among the leaders, that just means that he was a little bit patient, so that's good.
Well, all right. We've seen that since in the second half a bit, so yeah.
Yeah. All right, and the pitchers who came to mind for me were obviously Yoshinobu Yamamoto of the Buffaloes, but also Nick Martinez, who probably is not going to get it because he probably didn't have the wins to go with it, but he certainly pitched really well.
Yeah, that's a good one because he did pitch really well. In fact, I mean, he's pitched really well since June. I don't know, what did I say? He's had an ERA that you have to see with a, you can only see with a neutron microscope.
Right. Yeah, he pitched fantastic. I just remember him having really good starts and not run production, so he probably doesn't have the wins to go with it, but the numbers, if you just take the numbers on their own, he's striking out guys, and he was pitching well, putting up quality starts and taking, either if only allowing one run or at the most two into seventh inning or later. So high quality starts for sure.
Well, if it weren't for Yoshinobu Yamamoto,
he's the kind of guy I would pick
because I remember when Shohei Ohtani had a month like this and they ended up picking somebody who was pitcher of the month who had a 3.9 ERA, who was 4-1, and Ohtani was 2-0 with 2 shutouts and 4 starts and a 1.2 ERA.
Right.
But we don't pick guys who only win 2 games.
Yeah, get out of here. We get a little 2
exactly. So Martinez had a 0.55 ERA, which was actually, and Yamamoto's ERA was third best, 0.90. Actually, another guy in there, although he didn't pitch as many innings, was Ryota Takinaka of the Eagles, who went 3-0 with a 0.74 ERA, but he only pitched 24 innings, so it really wasn't.
Yeah, though I know that he pitched well doing these Pacific League little snippets every day. I remember mentioning his name a lot, but yes. Always looking at the stats and seeing that he did either a 5 and dive or a 5 plus and dive. And only the other day did he pitch fairly deep into the game. So, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, shifting to the Central League, the one player who came to mind first was Seiya Suzuki. And then after that, I couldn't think of anybody else because I'm like, well...
On my notes, I called him the one and only Seiya Suzuki because it was just an unbelievable month he had.
What about Murakami?
Nah.
Yeah. No, what are the numbers? I didn't want to answer. I wanted the numbers. Where? How close is he?
You always want an answer and not the numbers. And now for once you want the numbers. So what's going for
what
that?
What is it, Gibson? Didn't he have a bunch of RBIs? I just remember him knocking in a bunch of runs like in a two-week
Murakami
period.
Actually did lead the league with 27 RBIs.
See?
And Seiya Suzuki was second. But... get this.
Okay, somebody hit a bunch of home runs.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he hit .381, which was tops in the league. He had a .500 on base percentage.
Yikes.
.917 slugging percentage. So OPS was 14, was 1.417.
And he's getting on base half of his at-bats and his OPS is...
Well, when you slug 900 and you're on base 500, yeah, it's going to be up there. So,
good grief.
Yeah, 13 home runs. He drew 20 walks, which was the most in the league. He scored 19 runs, which was most in the league.
Good
and he was
grief.
Second in RBIs. Yeah, he's just sort of like... just everybody
he's
else.
He's the answer.
he's
the answer.
Yeah, he's gonna win his second straight monthly MVP.
Okay, now pitcher, the only guy who came to mind to me, and it's kind of obscure, but I just know because he pitched well against the Dragons one day, and that's Fernando Romero of DeNA. But I don't know what he did. I just remember he won a bunch of games. In fact, they said the other day when he won his third in a row, they said he's won 3 straight decisions. I'm like, that could do it. But I don't know. Nobody really came to mind in terms of the pitcher.
No, Romero. Romero went 3-3-0.
Is that 3-0 or 3-0?
3-0 with a 1.21 ERA. He's a good hitter too, which is something I noticed. Or at least he was at the start. I think he went through. I think he's like struck out one time in his first 10 at bats, made a bunch of contact, had some hits.
All right, so whatever. What about his pitching?
Yeah, whatever. Sorry. Yeah, okay, sorry. Apologize for adding spice to the soup. Let's get with
Let's
the blame.
Out of here.
Okay, yeah. No, I think the couple of guys had pretty good months, but I think the guy who's going to do it is probably Takahiro Matsuba.
The Dragons lefty?
Yeah. Because he won 4 games and he had an ERA under 1.
Under 1.
Not going to look at the fact that he strikes out guys every time he has a birthday.
Hashtag high heat.
That's just mean.
You know,
how do you look at yourself in the mirror when you say things like that to people?
Well, okay.
Well, you know it's not even true.
I know it's not true. He struck out many people since his last birthday. He strikes out about 4.5 batters and not per 9 innings. Which
so
is,
you're saying those are accidents?
I'm saying that's on the, you know, that's on the
the blind umpire
Ishikawa scale. Okay, so he went 4-1, and because he won 4 games, he's probably and he had the second best ERA in the Central League. The guy I like better was Hiroki Tokuda of the Carp. But again, like last month, they're going to say, look, Seiya Suzuki is no doubt the best hitter in the Central League, and the Carp are last place. Are they last place? No, they're not.
They're all okay, in last place.
They're all in last place. Yeah, the Carp are struggling. The Carp are, you know, having trouble breathing. So we can't have two Carp be the players of the month when they're trying to be in last place. So we're not going to pick. They'll probably go with Takahiro Matsuba, who won 4 games anyway, instead of Tokuda's 3. So.
All right, well, Matsuba. Well, that'll be good. Something good for the Dragons. They have to have something good. It's been an awful, awful season for them. Okay,
for the 4th place Chinichi Dragons.
No, they're not. They're not going to finish there. Honestly, after this awful stretch on the road here these past 2 weekends, if they don't finish in last place, there's something wrong with baseball.
Wow.
You can't get shut out 5 of 6 games over any stretch on the road and expect not to finish anywhere but last place. But anyway, let's move along. Let's not get John's blood pressure up high before he tries to do the editing and go to sleep, making a 2-seam calm transition into the Gone Guys. So it's the time of the season. You know that song?
Yeah. Actually, I know a song John's referring to.
The Zombies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the time of the season. Or it's the time of the season when guys start to say, you know, I'm done. I'm gone.
Well, actually, it's the time of the season when teams start telling guys they're done.
Well, so
they have a date. Well, they have a date.
Why are you just being mean to guys tonight, man? Some of the guys on their own volition are saying, you know what? I'm out.
I'm not. But there's a date on which teams are required by their agreement with the union to inform players who they believe are not in their plan, who they do not plan to extend for the following year.
Okay. All right. Well, let's not just throw dirt on their graves.
I come not to bury Kokubo, but to release him.
Right. Okay. So I guess earlier in this was a fluid situation throughout the week. Yuhei Takai of the Yakult Swallows made an announcement, and we all kind of tweeted about that. And then Minoru Iwata of Hanshin was among some of the highlight names. And then we started to see some players who were close to my heart. One, Kenichi Nakata, former Dragon, who went to the SoftBank Hawks and helped them win in the playoffs, actually. But I don't know that he ever got a title with them. I guess he did. He would have had to, but I don't think he contributed, really. And then Atsushi Fuji with the Dragons. And then Daisuke Yamai, Mr. Perfect Game 5 of the 2007 Japan Series, or eight perfect innings, because he didn't finish that game. And I'm sure, well, he's near and dear to my heart just because that was the first Japan Series that you and I, well, that actually was the second. We covered the 2006 Japan Series together, didn't we?
Hmm.
So that was the, but that was when the Dragons won. And I remember going to you in about, I think it was between the sixth and seventh innings when we were there in Nagoya Dome. It was called at that time, not Bantan Nagoya Dome. But I went to you and said, hey, Yamai's through six innings here and he's perfect. Do you think they're going to take him out? And you were, you know, the typical W.C. Fields. Get away from me, kid. You bother me. You know, I don't have time to think about this kind of foolishness.
Well,
what are you talking about?
We'd already decided I was writing. Well, because and the reason I was writing the sidebar on that story and John was writing the game story was because I had already written up a 2004 Daisuke Yamai Japan Series hero sidebar from that series.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew a lot of the background and how he sort of like came out of nowhere to be a big hero for the Dragons before they bottled that one. So I had, you know, I had the Yamai backstory, so it was easy for me. And I was cranking out the sidebar.
I gotcha.
And also thinking about the Trey Hillman leaving story, which was also going on at the same day. So
Right. So that was a fond memory. That was a good night. And luckily for Yamai, he didn't get to finish that spectacular start, but he ended up throwing a no-hitter in 2013 at Yokohama. So that was good for him. So very good. Dragons memories from those guys.
I'll add, if you're curious about Yamai, I wrote a moderately long post about him. So this week in the blog, you'll have to look for that. I forget what it's called. The Daisuke Yamai retires, or Japan Series hero retires, or something of that like.
Right. So until Friday, that was the biggest name. And then Friday, I suppose he still is the biggest name in my opinion.
Yeah.
But then on Friday, the Handkerchief Prince, Yuki Saito, trumped all of those guys by announcing his retirement. And here's a guy who's 15 and 26 in his career over 11 years with a 4.54 ERA. And he has a shutout in two complete games on his resume. I didn't know he had a shutout. I kept looking because I went to get all of his numbers, right? And I kept looking. I said, This really means shutout? Yes. And it has a number there. It has a one. I'm like, what team was this? When did this happen?
I think it was Waseda Jitsugyo.
Hashtag hi.
Maybe Waseda University. Yeah.
But he was the player who got, you know, an interview, and he was the one who they spent about 5 minutes with talking about. Because of his popularity, and even mentioning the fact that he was so popular among single women, middle-aged women, women-to-be, older women, and youth. They just made a fuss over this guy who is nothing but mediocre at best. So I don't even want to talk about it that much. He's out. Out of our hair, out of our problems. Take your towel, go home, and wipe those tears away, buddy.
It was weird. You know, of course, he was a big hero because of what he did in high school.
Right.
And, you know, and his duels with Masahiro Tanaka were absolutely riveting. You know, they were riveting for a couple of reasons. One was because of that. But the other reason was because Waseda Jitsugyo has a kind of aura to it. It's Sadaharu O's school.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time they have a big pitching hero, and Sadaharu O was a big pitching hero for them when he was in high school. Daisuke Araki, whose name was given to Daisuke Matsuzaka because of his ex, who was a kind of I want to say mediocre pro pitcher, but I think that title has been usurped by some guy who used to pitch for the Fighters now. Anyway, so he was this big star, and when he decided to go to university instead of turn pro out of high school. It was the biggest story. It was national news.
Mm.
Okay. So that was huge. And then he was went to college and he was really good his first year. He was lights out really good. He took a big step forward in his first year as a university pitcher. And then he pretty much plateaued. He really never got an inch better than he was as a university freshman. And all the guys who were not as good as him in high school all got better. And he was, but, you know, as a Swallows fan, as a, you know, I'm a longtime Swallows fan, I'm very grateful to Yuki Saito that the Nippon Ham Fighters won him in a lottery, because their alternate pick was Tetsuto Yamada.
Ooh. So, yeah, that could have not worked out for you.
I can't believe he was a pro for 11 years.
I still can't believe that either, but I don't want to talk about him for 11 minutes.
Okay, well, I just wanted to finish here, you know, my other thought about him, which was, you know, I can't believe it's been 11 years considering how many times Hideki Kuriyama's manager seemed to think his career was about to turn the corner. You know, it
how
was
many
like,
corners are
there? Yeah, well, no, he turned the corner this week.
How many corners
finally
are on this
happened
oval?
After 11 years, and the corner was towards the exit.
Yeah, please. That way. Bye. So, Anyway, now that he's out of our hair, let's talk about a real pitcher. Very quickly, as the pitch turns, Masahiro Tanaka lost today. He's now 4-7, pitched a complete game, 9 innings, 2 runs, 9 hits, a walk, 6 strikeouts, 2-0 loser to the Marines. But he, you know, considering the stuff he's throwing and the guile and the savvy he's using to get guys out, this was a really impressive outing in my opinion, because I don't think he gave up those 2 runs early on and then again, finished out the game. So he didn't pitch poorly. He didn't pitch great, but I thought he was really savvy the whole way, because everybody knows what to look for now.
Yeah. I mean, I had a chat with a guy, a former player, and we were talking about Tanaka this week. And, you know, that fastball ain't going to cut it. Everybody knows, you know, the fastball's got no spin, doesn't have enough backspin on it. It's straight as string right now. It's not fast enough. But he's essentially now a junk ball pitcher with a 94-mile-an-hour fastball.
Mm.
He's a crafty, dogged. He knows exactly how to pitch, and he's trying to fool people who are going like, "You think I'm going to throw that fastball straight down the middle? I'm going to give you the two seamer and you're going to foul it off, or you'll hit it weakly to third base or something. So I'm going to trick you into thinking you're going to get a fastball and you're not." The slider's still very good. I mean, he still has a good slider. The changeup is not bad. So he's got all those little weapons and he knows what he's doing. He probably should have given up more runs today.
Yep. Yeah. There are guys all over the bases. Yeah.
Except that one inning when the Marines loaded the bases. They didn't load the bases. They put 2 on with nobody out and then committed, you know, like suicide squeeze. Well, they committed suicide by squeeze. They had two guys bunted who struck out trying to sacrifice with 2 strikes. Not once, but twice.
Yeah,
and then they had the third run. The third out came on the bases. So
yeah, there's Koshiro Wada who is going around. It was a great play. I don't think that was an out on the base.
That was a good play. Yeah, I know.
Hideto Asamura making a great play, stopping a ball going up the middle and surprising the runner who was coming around from second, thinking, "Well, this I should be able to cruise home." And they're like, "What is this ball doing here, being thrown to the catcher in front of me? What is happening?"
Yeah, I mean,
it was a great play.
Granted, I'm overly harsh, but I'm curious to see what the guys in Pro Yaku News say, because I'm eager to hear. I'm waiting for the first one to say the Marines won this game 2-0 because they tried to sacrifice 5 times, even though not one of those attempted sacrifices led to a run scoring. Right. It's their fierce determination to score runs. That was the secret.
All right. Well, Masahiro Tanaka combined in MPB and MLB through his 2,500th inning today. So some congratulations to him on that. He even tweeted something out that I retweeted. So hopefully he can get his record straight before the season ends somehow. Come in and vulture up a couple wins in relief or something. But otherwise, he's going to finish with a losing record. That's unfathomable. But I was going to say, I don't see a major league team. You know, he came here with the intention, he said, of pitching here for a season and hopefully going back to the States. But I just don't see any major league team that's going to want to pay a lot of money for this, if that's what he is.
No, but Japan, as you know, I don't see any U.S. major league team wanting to pay a lot of money. But he's also a known commodity, and I think, and Japan's a different ballgame. You know, it's you know, Japan ain't easy.
I know.
I think his stuff actually right now plays better in the States than it does in Japan.
Okay.
So I'll be interested to see that, but I also think if the Eagles, you know, he did win a gold medal, so that's sort of like one thing he tried to accomplish. And if he does, you know, gets them to the playoffs, that's another thing. If they were to make it to the Japan series, I think he might go back, but also he didn't leave for those reasons completely. I mean, I honestly feel the reason he came to the back to Japan was out of concern for his family's safety amid the anti-Asian white
sentiment.
You know, the white extremism and white supremacy stuff going on in the States. And I think that was the reason he came back. And I don't see that. That's not going anywhere. So I suspect he'll probably stay probably more like that.
Yeah.
Plus he's got, I think, 8 million reasons to stay with the Eagles next year.
All right. All right. Let's go to fielding questions. All right. So we got this. I think it came via Twitter. Alexander, I apologize if it didn't. I didn't have time to go through all the emails again, but I've got you down as coming via Twitter. And he lives in Tokyo. And he says, why has such a gulf formed between the top half and the bottom half of the teams in the Central League? And given the time left, do you see any possibility of it closing? Now, he did say the third and the fourth place team. But all those, the fourth place, the fifth place, the sixth place, they're all the same. They're all last place teams. So I'm grouping them together. So at first, Alexander, when I got this question, my immediate inclination was to say it's because there are so many deficiencies on the bottom three teams. And they're so apparent. I mean, Chunichi can't hit. Hiroshima doesn't pitch well. DeNA doesn't really do either really well. They were hitting at some point, the Bay Stars were, but not consistently. They had some injuries and blah, blah, blah. But I did decide to go through and look at this mystery a little bit more because it just seemed like just before July that everything was pretty much settled between which teams were going to finish in the top half and which teams were going to finish in the bottom half. It was right around the time that I started to really pay attention to the standings. And I'm like, huh, look at that. So what I found was that the Yakult Swallows kind of bulked up on the bottom three teams. They beat the brains out of them and they really stacked the wins up there. But that they really had a losing record for a while. I think, as Jim said earlier, it's kind of evening out, but they still actually have a losing record against the Giants and mm-hmm. the Tigers. So they're going to have to really improve, or they're going to have to win some of these series at the end to make that right, put that on the high side for themselves. But the important thing is the scoring. And I think when you look at stolen bases, those three teams at the bottom really don't manufacture offense. They don't have a lot of stolen bases. Their plus minus in scoring is bad. The Carp, they kind of hit as a team, but because they don't advance on the base paths, they don't seem to get a lot of runs. They don't walk. Some of the teams in the bottom, I think the Bay Stars walk a little bit more than the other two, but the Dragons can't hit home runs. They don't walk. And I apologize. It's not that they don't walk. They don't get as many walks as I don't think they're at league average in the walks. And because they don't hit for a lot of power, they don't get those extra bases by stealing. They can't really manufacture any runs. It's just that we talked about it years ago on the show. Jim said, well, as long as you're putting runners out there, you have a chance to get them on. And if you're leaving a lot of runners on base, that's a good thing. And
I said it's a good offenses tend to leave lots of runners on base. I didn't say it's a good thing to leave runners on base, but it's a byproduct of a good offense.
I mischaracterized your
okay, that's all right.
That was like 10 years ago.
That's what we do, you know.
Yeah. Well, yes, the Butcher Brothers. So I really don't care what people say. I think you need to get on base and you need to put pressure on other teams, and speed counts. And so we didn't see that, but the teams in the top half, at least the Swallows steal bases. The Tigers, top two base dealers, have probably more steals put together than the Dragons and the Bay Stars, individually as a team. So it's just, you can't pitch as well. And I'm surprised that the Dragons have competently played defense and pitched as well as they have, and still are so ineffective on offense that they can't even be in the top three in the league, because they've had outstanding pitching. You look at their pitching stats, it's unbelievable. They're out-pitching every team in Japan. But because they can't score, they're ending up in the bottom. And so, again, with the Carp unable to do a lot consistently other than, say, a Suzuki, and maybe Yosuke Kikuchi has had his moments, they just haven't been consistently good at doing all the things to get runs to come, getting on base, taking the extra base, and then run prevention. So that's what I saw when I looked into some of the numbers. And the DeNA Bay Stars have 26 steals. That's the fewest in NPB. And I think one of the Tigers players almost has that many by himself. Koji Chikamoto probably has close to 26. He has more than that, I think.
Yeah, it's ironic because last year the Bay Stars stole 31. I mean, the Bay Stars stole 31 bases, and that was basically considered, they were basically lambasted because they didn't steal bases and they didn't sacrifice. Well, Alex Ramirez doesn't like to sacrifice. Okay, so that's all right. But when they pointed out Daisuke Miura, the manager of the farm team last year, they said his team is leading the Eastern League in sacrifices and stolen bases. This is what we're going to get when he's managing the first team. Well, sorry, doesn't work like that.
Yeah, Takumu Nakano has 26 stolen bases by himself. It's like the Bay Stars need a gun and one of those, bandit masks to steal a base. Plus, they need it to be dark and turn out all the lights and sneak up on the base. Oh, man, it's awful.
Well, it's been bad. I mean, they missed a lot of teams missed players. I mean, the Swallows didn't get Domingo Santana and Jose Osuna until the end of April. So it's not like the Bay Stars were the only team that was missing players.
True.
But no, their team has been really bad. And I think really what has happened is the Bay Stars were not really... Well, I think they were a better team last year than they are this year. They're not as bad as they looked. I think they floundered and played poorer than they needed to. I think Daisuke Miura is going to be fine if he can kind of calm down and stop trying to change everything all the time. But what strikes me as being the big difference between the Gulf is that the Gulf now exists between third and fourth. The Gulf in the Central League used to exist between second and third, or first and second.
Mm, yeah, it moved.
It has.
There's a tectonic shift. Yeah,
yeah. The Swallows basically changed the dynamic and made it a three-team, first division instead of the Giants and a couple of people who pretended to be good.
Hmm.
So, all right. So that was the big thing. The Carp, I think, manager Sasaoka is probably going to be out sooner or later. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's it.
Other than Daisuke Miura of the Bay Stars, I don't see the other two guys sticking around for either too much longer or after this year.
Yeah, so. I think Yoda's gone this year, and Sasaoka will be gone next year as soon as his contract's up.
Yep. All right, well, Alexander, thank you very much for the question. Anyone else who has a question, hit us up at JBW Podcast on Twitter with the hashtag High Heat. Send questions by email to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Hit us up on the Facebook page and leave us a message there. I can't believe we talked this long and have this long a show without a guest. Jim, get it together, man. Isn't that what they used to say on Star Trek? Jim, get it together, man.
I don't think so.
Oh, all right. Well, I didn't watch that show anyway.
I gather.
You got anything coming up this week?
Yeah, actually, I do. Got another research piece about what, you know, my favorite thing to be annoyed by, which is the shallow outfields with a runner on second and two outs.
Oh, and not just me.
No.
Okay, good.
I'm not only annoyed with you, I'm annoyed with many things.
Okay. Hi, my name is Pet Peeve. Nice to meet you.
Exactly. And the other thing, the other story I'm working on this week for the blog is kind of technically not about baseball, but it's about sumo and about what the stuff going on in sumo is teaching us about sports in Japan. So look out for that.
My man, Hakuho. We will have a guest for you next week, so tune in. Until then, enjoy your baseball.
See you at the ballpark.
Follow the hosts on Twitter at JBW Podcast and at JBallAllen. And feel free to submit your questions by email or tweet with hashtag High Heat. Thank you for listening to Japan Baseball Weekly.